After that prayer, that's quite a challenge, bringing something new to you, something that you've not heard before. Because actually, most of you have been in the church a long, long time. And you've heard sermons for years and years and years. So to bring something new is a bit of a tall order. But hopefully I'll be able to just give you a different slant to things. So when we are in the book of Mark, as you know, and Mark wrote in a particular way, he embedded one story in another, or started a theme which he illustrated, and the theme can go over several chapters. So last week you probably heard about Jairus and his daughter. But again, the story is told in such a way that we start out with Jairus, and Jesus is going towards Jairus' daughter as she is dying. And then the woman who has had the issue for 12 years touches Christ, and Christ stops. And imagine Jairus' anxiety as Jesus stops and then his daughter dies. But that's not the only theme that actually goes through Mark, and there are lots of them. If we just going to actually look at the first scripture we've just read was about when Jesus actually returned to Nazareth, and I'm not going to dwell on this very much because actually we've talked about this. But there's a couple of really interesting points that actually make for a wonderful sermon. One of the points is, why was it that Jesus could do no great miracles? Because there was lacking in faith. Why was that? That is actually really very interesting. And there's lots of scriptures that go around that. But that's not the point of today's sermon. And then we have next, we have the story of the commissioning. But actually, this story almost starts back in Mark 4 with the parable of the sower. I'm not suggesting we turn there, but if you remember the story, Jesus was speaking in parables. And what did the disciples say? They asked Jesus to explain because they couldn't understand. And the parables were about soil and about people and about the good that, you know, when the good soil, what it produced. And actually, it seemed to be that all Christ's words and the miracles and all that had happened, which the disciples had witnessed, hadn't fallen on the right soil. Mark's intimating that actually the disciples are not particularly good soil. And then we go over and we see the story of the man who was the demon at. You know, he was possessed by the legion of spirits, and he was healed. But what happened there? Jesus gave him a commission. The good soil was in a completely unexpected place. The good soil could be anywhere. And in actual fact, when we start to read about the disciples going out, it seems like the manure of Christ's teaching and words has finally got to them, and they start to produce the fruit. But again, as I said, that's not really what I'm going to talk about today, because what I want to talk about is about the beheading of John. And it starts in verse 14, and I'm going to read this again. Unfortunately, you haven't got this one on your system, but mine is the New Jerusalem Bible. But it's very similar to what's there. It says, King Herod heard about him. We're saying King Herod heard about Jesus, since now his name was well known. So Jesus was becoming known. And some were saying, John the Baptist has risen from the dead. That's why miraculous powers are at work. Others said he's Elijah. And others again, he's a prophet, like the prophets we used to have. But when Herod heard this, he said, it is John whose head I've cut off and he's risen from the dead. And it goes on to say, now at this time, Herod, who had sent to have John arrested, had him chained up in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, who he married. But John had told Herod, it's against the law for you to have your brother's wife. As for Herodias, she was furious with him and wanted to kill John. But she was not able to do so because Herod was in awe of John, knowing him to be a good and upright man, and gave him protection, even when he had heard him speak. He was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. Does this sound familiar at all in terms of soil types? Actually, here's someone in Herod that perhaps with someone else there might have been, you know, germination. But there was certainly interest. The opportunity came on Herod's birthday when he gave a banquet for the nobles of his court, for the army officers and the leading figures in Galilee. And when the daughter of the same Herodias came in and danced, she delighted Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me anything you like and I will give it to you. And we know that what she asked for was the head of John the Baptist on her mother's instructions. Mark is telling this story as a flashback, because John has already died. So Mark is actually inserting this story between scriptures for a particular point and in a particular order. But not only is he using it as a flashback, but he's also using it to look forward, because he's also using it to look forward to the death of Christ. Because there are similarities. If we look, and again, I'm not suggesting we necessarily need to do so now, but the opening words in Mark say, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. The messenger was John the Baptist. John prepared the way for Jesus by preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching that same message. So that was the message. So first of all, we have the two cousins. John is slightly older than Jesus, and John paves the way, and then he's arrested. But I want to look a little bit at Herod, Herodias, and Salome as well, although she doesn't get the name Salome in this scripture. But Herod, or Herod Antipas, this is the Herod we're looking at. And actually, whenever we read the name Herod, it makes us think, oh, you know, we grit our teeth, we don't like him. And there's a good reason for that, because of his history. But this Herod was not a king, but he was one of four, a tetrarch who ruled in the area. And he had quite limited power, and I stress that because we pick that up a little bit later. So Herod Antipas, which is the one we're talking about, rules over Galilee and Perea. His brother Archelaus looks after Judah and Samaria, and he's got a half-brother who rules over some of the Gentile territories. Herod Antipas rules with the permission of Rome. He has limited power. He's subjected to Rome's guidance. He came to the power in 4 BC, and he's deposed not long after the death of Christ. He has a 40-year reign that comes to a very ignominious end. Not surprised either. But Herod's name raises a red flag with people. Herod the Great was involved in trying to kill Christ as a baby, and he actually killed lots of other babies at that time. Now Herod Antipas murders John. And if you go on to Acts, you'll see Herod's name come up again in various contexts. But as I said, this is a flashback. It's the story of what happened to John, but it's a flash forward as well. Herod is linked with both John and Jesus. There are other links. Mary and Elizabeth celebrated their pregnancies together, and Elizabeth told Mary about the role Mary's son would play. John prepared the way for Jesus. John baptized Jesus, and his baptism then linked in with God the Father, revealing Christ's sonship. John and Jesus are linked to Herod because he plays a role in both of their deaths. Herod kills John because he tells the truth. And we see how he's involved in Jesus' death for the same thing. When we look at Herod, there is something there in Herod's behaviour that he's ambivalent about John. He's had him arrested, but he's had him arrested just because of his wife. I'm actually fairly certain if it hadn't have been for Herodotus, John the Baptist would not have been arrested. But he was. And if we look at the death of Christ, both Herod and Pilate have misgivings. They have doubts. They have to ask the people, what do we do? Who do you want released? We can see the similarities. As John prepared for Christ's ministry to begin, he also laid the foundation for the death as well. Both John and Jesus wielded power after their death. If we look at what happened with John, and he died, when Jesus came along, Herod is actually saying, it's John resurrected. You know, he's come back in another form. John had power after his death. But look at the power that Christ has had after his death. Look at 2 centuries down the line, how many people believe in Christ. That is power. And in actual fact, we see that although Herod feels that John has been resurrected, the reality is Christ is resurrected. So this is actually more, this is not only a story about John, it's a story about Jesus as well. And so we actually now, I want to look at Herod. Because Herod is a figure who he's had John arrested, and yet he listens to his teaching. There is something about John's words that get to him. And he is doing everything he can to protect John from his wife. Herod is actually listening. He's listening to the words that John are actually telling him. And even though John has actually said that his wedding, his marriage to Herodias is against the Levitical law, Herod is still listening. And he's protecting him. And he's keeping him safe. Herod is almost like that soil that it's there, but the weeds and the cares of the world and all the other things choke what is good. And Herodotus is definitely one of these weeds of the world. Now Herod feared John because he recognised he was a righteous and a holy man. He did many things and Herod heard him gladly. We would have expected Herod to have, once he'd arrested John, to have actually had him killed and got out of the way. But something in Herod made him keep John alive. And he was in prison and kept there. But that's Herod. He's actually quite a weak man as well. We see that in, you know, he's boastful. And his power, as I said, is limited. We come on to that in a minute. Now we get to the Jezebel of the story. And actually, rightly, we should think, you know, she is like Jezebel in so many ways. Just as Mark is writing about her, the readers at this time would have thought about Jezebel and her evil. Because Herodotus set herself against John. She wanted him dead. And it says she couldn't because Herod feared John. Herod respected John and he kept him safe. But Herodotus was evil. He was not concerned about her sin, which is just like Jezebel. She wanted to have it her way. And she wanted to remove anyone from the scene that could actually cast a slur on her. She wanted John dead. She was not prepared to listen to anything. Reminds me a little bit of the hard ground. That actually the words came and nothing could actually penetrate that. I have a garden at home, so I really get excited about gardening and things in the Bible to do with gardening, because I can actually imagine a lot of the things that happened. When I first had my garden, it was actually completely full of weeds, and every now and again I haven't got all the weeds out, even after 15 years. You know, every now and again I will get a nettle come back through, or I'll get a bramble or something that has sneaked its way back in. They're tenuous. But actually when you're in the garden and you're working and you're digging and you're cultivating, these stories, especially about the sower and the seed, come to life. Because there's that path that you walk along and you trample down, and it becomes as hard as iron and nothing can get through, nothing can grow. You trample on it. And that was like Herodotus. No words of wisdom, no gems, no pearls could get through to her. And then we come on to the daughter. Now again, this is actually a really interesting situation. Because the Bible says very little about the daughter. We are led to believe her name is Salome. And the concordances that actually talk about Salome are divided into two schools of thought. So first of all, we have the party and Salome comes in and she dances. And one school of thought say that this was a licentious, very provocative, very sexual dance. And it was because of this that she pleased Herod. But there's another school of thought. And actually, it's that Salome was perhaps a young girl. A girl about the age of 12. A girl a little bit like the same age as Jairus' daughter. And the reason for that, there's nothing in the Bible that says one way or another. But there is something quite interesting in my Bible. Because it says in verse 28, the man went off and beheaded him, this is John in prison, and then he brought the head on a dish and gave it to the girl. Now, I don't know if you've got girl up there. Yeah. And the girl gave it to her mother. And the term girl in the original indicates someone younger. Now, actually, I can't put my hand on my heart and say which is actually true, whether it's Salome was very sensual and licentious and provocative, or whether she was a delightful little girl who pleased the king. If it had been an older woman simply dancing half naked in public, would have been completely a no-no. People didn't do that in those days except for the prostitutes. If it had been a little girl, then we've got a different story. But then what does the little girl do? So first of all, we have Herod offering that. And I'm going down the line of the little girl, as you can understand. We have the young girl. And Herod said, you can have anything, half my kingdom. Actually, he cannot give away half his kingdom. The kingdom is not his to give away. He's boastful. He's swept along by everything. What does she do? She doesn't say, can I have a new doll? She says, look, both girls do. But she does go and ask her mother. And again, we see a side of Herodotus that is completely and utterly evil. Because she will achieve her desire for John's death through her daughter. She takes away an offering or an opportunity that the girl could have benefited from. And the mother tells the daughter to ask for the head of John. And she does. And we see in the story that actually Herod is gutted by this. He boasted that actually this girl can have half his kingdom, and he doesn't want to do this. He worked up until this point to save John and to keep John safe, and now cut off. And John's head was brought back on a plate. But again, Mark was writing this story for someone else, for the Jewish people. So who would this have reminded the Jews that were reading Mark of? Who was a young heroine of the Old Testament? And Sophie was right, everything in the Old Testament is revealed in the new. There was a queen who faced very similar problems. A very beautiful queen. And the parallels between the queen and Salome are quite interesting. The queen was called Esther. And both Esther and Salome thought to gain advantage over their enemies at a banquet. In the story, Esther won the king's favour and Salome pleased Herod. Both kings offer up half their kingdom to Esther and to Salome. Esther did not ask for the death of her enemy. She wanted to expose his treachery so that she could prevent her uncle Mordecai from being killed. But Salome requests Jotham's death. But Haman, who was the treacherous man in the Esther story, died. The big difference that we would have seen is that there was a different motive between the two stories. Esther sought to expose treachery to save her people. Herodotus' treachery was to save herself. What lessons can we learn from this story? As I said, this story touches back to Esther. It touches back to the parables of the sower and the seed. It touches back to all sorts of things. It reminds us that actually people that serve God are not spared necessarily from death, from illness. Isaiah, it said, was sawn asunder, wasn't it? That's what they estimate happened to him. They talk about in the faith chapter people being beheaded. People that actually go out and deliver the message, even when they are as great as John. John was the one who came before Christ. Even Christ said there is none greater than John. Even he paid for that honour with his life. We face anything. We can face derision. And actually in this society, that's what we face more than anything. We face hardship. But we can also learn an interesting lesson. That we can actually find soil. That actually we can plant our seeds in the most unusual of places. Because at a different place and a different time, perhaps Herod, like other people, could have actually come to know, you know, the meaning of Christ's sacrifice and have changed. There are opportunities out there, and sometimes we see people as evil or good. But actually, people are very mixed. There's good and bad in us all. And I hope one day we will see Herod there, because I believe that deep down, underneath all of that, he was just a very foolish man. And perhaps he will actually then fall at the name of Christ and bow his knee and accept his role in not only John's death, but also in Christ's death.
Amen.